It's a good thing Frank is not here tonight. He told me to have this on before I came up. So he can be mean sometimes. All right. If you guys will, we will park tonight in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. All right, so a real familiar story here. Hopefully it's not over-preached, because I'm going to be preaching on it tonight. 15:11, it says this. It says, "And he said a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he had joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough, to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Let's pray there. Lord, we come before you tonight, and we're grateful for this story in the Bible, Father. It probably at some point has pictured all of us in our lives, Lord, in our relationship to you. And Lord, I pray that tonight this would just be a reminder. I pray that it wouldn't be necessarily a stab to anybody, but I pray that you would use it as you see fit. And I just pray that the things that are said here tonight, Lord, would be honor and glorifying to you. I pray that you would get the honor and glory out of it, and that again you would use it the way that you want it to be used. And Lord, we know that all of this, all of the things that we do here in service, Lord, without you is really is pointless. And so, Father, we pray that you'd come down here tonight. We pray that you would see fit to be with us, Lord. We pray that you would be welcomed here tonight, and that you would have nothing here that would hinder your movement. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd be with the night and the sermon, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is obviously real familiar ground for everybody, and I know I kind of made a joke of it, but I really do kind of hope it's not over-preached, just because, I mean, in this alone, I think I have three or four sermons that my dad has re-preached, and then just single ones that I haven't heard him re-preach, and we've had guys come through here and preach on it, and so definitely not trying to steal anything that anybody has said or take credit for any of that stuff, but there's a couple of things that popped out to me. I had some notes on it for a while that I've kept, and then I think my dad said something on Wednesday night that kind of sparked some more interest, and so I went ahead with it, and Lord, I think, blessed it, and here we are. We have a sermon on it, so we'll see how this goes. Now, it's a sad story. It's a triumphant story. Like I said, it probably is a testament of your life at some point. Hopefully it's a testament in a good sense. Hopefully you're a prodigal that's come home. I have a note in my Bible, and we've all heard it said that not all prodigals make it back from the far country. And we know that that's true. In fact, you know, when you think about it, you know, how many friends do you have? How many kids do you have? How many cousins or nephews or nieces or whatever do you know that haven't made it back? So really, I mean, when you think about it, if I was a betting man, and I probably shouldn't say it this way in context, but I would, I'd bet a lot of them don't make it back. I bet you there's a lot of prodigal sons that never decided to come home for one reason or another. But it's, of course, the deceitfulness of sin and all that, that they're not back. But this story in here, though, the prodigal son did come back. And it's a blessing to read about it. So I just want to talk about three things tonight. I want to talk about his departure. I want to talk about his absence. And then I want to talk about his return. And I just want to hit some things tonight that the Lord kind of, I think that the Lord kind of showed me. And I never quite noticed it or maybe put it together. Maybe never had quite the right words to express the what was kind of grabbing me when I read the passage. So I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But I just want to talk, first of all, about his departure. And in verse 12, it says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Now, I want to say that his departure started, it started before he ever left. You know, it's and I know it's an obvious thing to state, but listen, when the prodigal leaves, when he leaves, what you're seeing is a product of what was going on in here. Right? It's never a thing of like, "I'm going to leave." Right? It was something that was thought about. It was something that was mulled over. And it was and it was something that he contemplated for a long time. And it was a lot of little steps that probably just progressed and snowballed. And one day he finally just said, "Forget it, I'm leaving." So it starts long before he ever leaves. Generally, the heart begins to stray long before a physical departure takes place. Right, you know, the Bible says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And you know, we've all heard sermons on the heart and all that goes on in the heart. And keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that heart just kind of, that heart actually begins to stray before the actual feet ever go anywhere. And that's just the way that it works. You know, in I'm going to turn there. You guys don't have to, but listen, Proverbs 7 didn't happen on accident. In Proverbs 7, you have that young man, and he is going down a path, and it says in verse 6, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." And you may say, "Well, he's just void of understanding. He doesn't know." Then look what it says, or in verse 8, it says, "Passing through her street near her corner, and he went the way to her house." Listen, I mean, he was there. Listen, his heart was walking up and down those streets long before his feet were. And he's sitting there and he's thinking about it and he's talking about it. And listen, there's all this stuff out there, and he's wondering about it and he's thinking about it. And maybe there's some things going on in his heart that he's not happy with the Father. But listen, it doesn't just happen by accident. And just that right there, I mean, that verse, it says that he passed through a street. If he didn't mean it, why is he there? I mean, you know what's there. And so listen, he may not know the details of what's going to happen. He may not know necessarily the details of what's going to keep him or the depravity. But listen, before he was ever there, his heart had already walked the streets. His heart was already there. And that's a sad thing. And you know, that young man got out and there were so many opportunities for him. You know, there were so many experiences to try, right? Now, I will say this, though. He didn't know the details. Because at the last chapter, the last verse of that chapter, it says, "Her house is the way to hell." He didn't know that. And there's the deceitfulness of sin. He didn't necessarily know what was going to happen, but her house is the way to hell. And that's why you shouldn't mess with it. And it says that it goes down to the chambers of death. And you know, you go back to to our passage. You go back to Luke chapter 15, and in verse 12 it says, "And the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son, gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I want to say, you know, it in verse 12, he says, give me, right? And then in verse 13, it says it's he took his journey. And really, the whole thing was, it was a very obvious, very selfish departure. And when a man decides that he's going to depart from the Father's house, it's because he's selfish. It's because he wants to do what he wants to do, and he wants to be able to live for the first time in his life. And listen, the Father's just holding you back. Why don't you just go out and experience some things? And it's just all selfish. When the younger son departs, it's selfish. Verse 13, it says that he wasted his substance. And it's kind of interesting because everything that he took with him was from the Father. The Father gave him everything that he left with. And in essence, he wasted the Father's substance. And that's what happens when a prodigal son leaves, or prodigal daughter, if you want to phrase it that way. But listen, when they leave, you know what you're doing? You're wasting your substance. You're wasting his substance with riotous living. It doesn't mean that there's probably no difference here, but it's interesting to me that it says that he wasted it with riotous living, not on riotous living, right? I mean, I know that he spent his substance, but just the fact that a Christian lives riotously, it means that you're wasting your substance. You're wasting what you have when you live that way. But he wasted the Father's substance. And you know what it says go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 18. It says something pretty interesting there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 in verse 18, it says this. It says, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." And that was the testament of the younger brother's life. He destroyed some things. You know, he had no respect for the Father's substance. I mean, it's interesting because he says, "Give me," and the Father just says, "Okay," and he divides that living up, and the son doesn't go anywhere yet. In that verse, he did not say, "Give me the inheritance so that I can leave." Now, I'm not saying that that's not what he was thinking, but it's just interesting to me that he says, "Give me the portion of goods that belongeth, that falleth to me." And then it says, "And not many days after." I don't know how many days is, right? I don't know how long that is. If you want to look up the phrase "many days" in the Bible, sometimes that refers to as much as 3.5 years. And so I don't know if it's a month. I don't know how much time passes. But listen, the Father gave him all of those goods. He gave him his portion, and he had absolutely no respect for what the Father gave him. And you know, when a Christian goes off and lives a riotous life, you know what they have? They don't have any respect for what God has. They have no respect for what God has given them. And listen, that's in my opinion, this is just pure opinion, I think this is, in this part, this is where we reach one of the prodigal's big problems. I think it exposes a really big problem in the prodigal's life. And I don't know about you, but I sit there and wonder, why did he leave? Right? I mean, what was it? I mean, maybe you've done the same thing. I'm sure you have, but listen, he received all those goods. And listen, you know what? Not even all those goods could keep him around. And that's a pretty sad thing, because you know what? We've been given a lot. And there's some things that there's a lot of people around here that won't keep them. As even though they've been given so much, they're just going to waste it. And it doesn't matter to them. And they're just going to live the way they want to live. He just demands the portion. He says, "Give me. Give it to me." And listen, all that stuff, all the stuff that the Father gave him, all the love that the Father showed, it couldn't keep him. And this is why I say I think this is one of his big problems. I think the prodigal left because he was discontent. I think a big part of the reason why the prodigal son left the father's house was because he wasn't content with what the father had. And listen, he was no longer, and I say no longer, maybe he was never satisfied with the father gave. But he was no longer satisfied with the father's life. And that's a shame. You know, the father could no longer satisfy the prodigal son. Now, maybe I should say the other way around and say the prodigal would no longer be satisfied with what the father gave. And that's a shame. And the reason why that is because, you know what? Listen, well, we won't get into that yet, but listen, I think he left dissatisfied with the father. And he is dissatisfied. I mean, what do you do when a kid is dissatisfied? What do you do with a Christian that won't be satisfied with the Lord, with what the Lord's done? I mean, what do you do at that point? I mean, I'm not saying that the Lord can't do anything, but it's like, what does he do now? I mean, it's in your court, right? You're not satisfied with it. You won't be satisfied with anything that the Lord's trying to do for you. You don't like it. And it's just like, okay, I don't know what else to do now, right? I don't know. Maybe he felt like he just kind of outgrew the father. You know, all the things that the father gave. You know, he meant well, but you know, I've grown beyond that now. I don't know. But I can say this: you better watch out when you think you've outgrown what the father has given you. You better watch out when the father can't satisfy you anymore. Because listen, if he can't satisfy you anymore, what lengths are you going to go to be satisfied? And you know, listen, if he was satisfied, if he was content with the Father, then why leave? Right? And therefore, he wasn't satisfied, so he left. And listen, you know what? In the end, I know that there's a lot of reasons why people can leave, but you know what? In the end, you'll leave because you're dissatisfied with the Father. You're not happy with the way that he's done things. So I guess the question would be then is... Sorry, I'm having trouble reading my notes. Cut that. I'll just say this. He departed the Father's house unsatisfied. And he left unsatisfied, and the reason why he left unsatisfied is because he wouldn't be satisfied. It wasn't that he couldn't be satisfied. It's not the fact that you can't be satisfied with what the Father has for you. It's just the fact that you won't. Like, that you're refusing to be satisfied. And so the prodigal son, he leaves. He departs, and he's gone. In verse 13, it says this. It says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man would give unto him." I want to talk for a minute about the prodigal's absence. I want to talk about his leaving. And I imagine it was a journey for him that probably started off with some excitement. You know, this is new territory for him, and you know, he finally got the old ball and chain off of him, and he's got some freedom now, and he can just live his life the way he was born to do, you know. I mean, he probably went he probably found some clinical reason that he had to leave, you know, and make it sound all good and kind of, you know, try to make it sound better to his friends on why he had to leave, you know. It just wasn't for me anymore, you know. And he probably was pretty excited when he first left. And you know what, I'd say that when he left, it's kind of interesting because when he left fat, he left full. His arms were full of stuff. His pack was heavy. It was loaded down. He had everything he needed, and he was out. But he left fat and full. He had all that stuff. But he left unsatisfied. He left ready to be filled and ready to be satisfied. Because I'm not going to let that guy satisfy me. What is he trying to give me? I'm not going to be satisfied with that. And so he left. In verse 13 it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." You know, I'd like to say that in this new journey that he took, you know what he did? He went at it full force. He went at it fully intending to be satisfied. There was nothing that was going to hold him back. I mean, he was going to fling himself. He was going to throw everything that he had to get some satisfaction, to live life, to have fun. And that's what he wanted. And listen, he was held back for all those years, right? And now he could finally just conquer his true desires. Life is going to be good. What can go wrong? The end of verse 13, it says, "And there he wasted his substance with riotous living." He wasted it. And you know what? All the father's substance, all the things that he had, it was just wasted. It was gone, and he wasn't satisfied. And so at the end of verse 13, it says that he wasted his substance on riotous living. And then, you know what? In a matter of time, I don't know how much time. I don't imagine it was very much time. Maybe it was a year, maybe it was two, I don't know. But in a matter of time, though, he was all empty. He didn't have anything. He didn't have anything to show for the life that he thought he was going to be able to have. And you know, it's interesting because you could probably argue on how long it takes for a prodigal to come home or how long it takes for a prodigal to waste his substance and all that stuff. But when you look at it through the lens of the Bible, which you should do, you see the black and white, right? He leaves and you get to see the end of a thing. And listen, that's what we see. And you know, the Bible doesn't glamorize everything. And in a matter of eight words, it says, "And there wasted his substance on riotous living." Because honestly, it's going to take not very long for you to waste it all than for you to have to live with that consequence. Living with it is going to be a whole lot longer than wasting it. And when you thought it couldn't get any worse, look at verse 14. It says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." And again, you think it couldn't get any worse, or he was thinking, how much worse can it get? And all of a sudden, this famine hits. That's no coincidence. And for us as Christians, it's a great picture, because you know when a prodigal son leaves that you know what he's going to hit no matter what? It is a guarantee. Famine. There's going to be emptiness in it. And again, you can sit there like you're doing in your mind right now, arguing on well, you know, what do you mean by famine, right? And you'll argue it in your mind. But listen, the Bible says, and there's a famine, right? And that's what you're going to hit. And I think my dad mentioned that the other night, and it kind of struck me. And it was just like, yeah, how about that? Anytime a prodigal son leaves, you know what they do? They hit a famine. Whether it's a famine of maybe material things, but that doesn't always happen, right? I mean, sometimes the prodigals seem like a success story, right? They do. I mean, when you look at them from the outside, right? I mean, Asaph said, he goes, "Man, so foolish was I." He goes, "Then I went to the sanctuary and then I saw the end," right? But listen, sometimes on the outside, they seem like a success story. It doesn't seem like it's all going wrong, but one thing I can tell you, there's a famine. And if it's not a physical famine, there's a spiritual famine. And I know that that doesn't matter to the prodigal when he's in that time, but one day, it is going to matter. It is going to matter someday to him. So it's a great picture for us. And it, you know what, listen, it just seems It just seems like such a natural progression to happen when you're absent from the Father's house. That's the title of the message tonight, is the Father's house. He left the Father's house, right? He departed from the Father's house, and now he's absent from the Father's house. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Listen, you know what? I just want to say something. And again, another thing that's real obvious. The world's going to require so much more than just your substance. They're not just going to take your physical stuff. You're going to lose a whole lot more. And you may not realize all the things that they're gonna take from you. But listen, I mean, the Bible says that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. There's a lot of times that the word join shows up in the Bible. But you know what it says about a man? It says that he's supposed to be joined to his wife. I believe there's a verse that says, talking about us and the Lord, if we have the being joined to the Lord, we have the same spirit. And that joining, it shows something that's supposed to be real close. It shows like an intimacy there. And now he's having to join himself to a citizen of the country. And listen, you don't realize that when you leave, the things that you're going to have to sacrifice, you don't realize the things that are going to be required. And now at this point, honestly, he's just a servant of sin. I mean, he's feeding swine. What are you doing feeding swine? What are you doing bartending? What are you doing this and doing that? Like, what are you doing? And now you're just a servant of sin. You're practically a citizen of the country. And you're just being told what to do, and you're just doing it. You're not even thinking about it. It's just like, well, what else do I do? This is all I can do. I don't have any other choice. I have to drive a beer truck, okay? No, actually, you don't. That's right. And listen, you know what? The prodigal son, he leaves, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And now he's joined to a citizen of this country, and it says that he's in the fields to feed swine. John Wesley said he is employed in the base drudgery of sin. And that's what it is. And that's what happens in the prodigal's absence. That's what happens when the prodigal son leaves. And you know what? Listen, the prodigal son left the father's house filled. He left the house filled. He had everything that he needed. But he wouldn't be satisfied. He wouldn't do it. And you know what? Verse 16, it says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, I think for him, as he's living through these, I'm assuming it's years. As he's living through these years, and it's, I mean, listen, he's starving to death. I mean, he says, I perish with hunger. So, I mean, it's bad off for him. That doesn't just happen in a year. And he's living this life, and you know what? I think that the harsh reality sets in now that he can't be satisfied. See, before he wouldn't be satisfied. But now, it's impossible. Listen, if the Father can't satisfy your needs, and I know, you're going to want to roll your eyes in your head, the world's not going to be able to satisfy your needs either. It doesn't happen. And he can't be satisfied. Now he's gone from a state of, I won't be satisfied, to, I can't. There is no satisfaction. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And he would have fain... He would fain have filled. He would have been happy to do it. He would have been happy to be able to eat the husks that the pigs eat. That's what that word means, fain. It means to be happy. He would have been, that would have satisfied him. Or so he thought. But he said, listen, I would be happy just to eat one of these if I could. And listen, it says at the end of that verse, and no man gave to him. Makes me think that there's some begging involved. Now he's gone into begging. He's on the streets and he's begging for food. And so listen, he left so full, and now he's so empty. He's so desperate, right? He's so desperate, so depraved. Anything at this point will make him happy. And what a good picture for us to have. I mean, to look at the world through these eyes instead of through something else. I mean, this is what you should be looking at it through. You shouldn't be looking at your friends and thinking, man, I wish I could do that too. My mom, you know, my dad, I can't do that. This is what you should look at it through. Why don't you look at it through God's eyes? And so listen, he has now lived a life that refused satisfaction, and now he's living one that can't find satisfaction. And it's just a sad thing. But man, thank God for that though. You know, thank God for the fact of being able to, that he actually came to this point. You know, like, I don't agree with you. You'll hear people say, well, he just had to go out and sow his wild oats. I don't agree with that. That's so wrong. So he had to go out and sin. That's not true. What a dumb thing to say. Right? And listen, but man, for the Lord to actually allow him, the Bible says, and he came to himself. Thank God. And listen, you know what? He finally realized that the far country really actually held no real satisfaction. He actually realized that he got it now. If you guys ever like understood something, you're just like, no way, I get it now. And I know it's kind of funny, but man, there's these times where you have these little epiphanies and you're like, oh. There's one time we were in class when I was in school, and there was one of the ladies down there. We were in class and one of the teachers was going through something, and like she's like, wait a second, that's what that means? He's like, yeah. Oh, and like literally that was going on in class, you know? And it was just like, it's kind of cool to see when somebody, it just clicks. And so just for a minute or two, I want to talk about his return. I want to talk about the happy part of the story. It says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He's finally looking at it and he's finally thinking, wow, maybe the Father isn't out there just to hinder my fun. Maybe he actually cares about me. He says, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Because you know what he's thinking? He probably isn't going to take me back. And he was right for thinking that. I mean, imagine your child saying, Dad, I'm graduated. And I think that you should give me my inheritance now. And listen, if you want to look up, well, look at verse 30. And this is the older brother talking. He says, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. That's a riotous living. What if your son did that to you? What if your daughter did that to you? How would you feel? And they wasted all of your substance. They wasted all of the things that you gave them to try to set them up in life. And they waste it. How would you feel? I mean, wouldn't there be a hesitation on your part to say, you want me to take you back? Really? And really, in the end, you'd probably say, okay, you can come back after I have a few words with you, right? And he's thinking, he goes, I mean, I don't know if this is going to work. And he's creating this plan in his head. He goes, I know what I'm going to do. I have a plan. I'm just going to go back to the Father. I'm just going to apologize. And he does. Verse 20, and he arose and he came to his father. He arose. He actually did it. And you know what? Listen, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but you know what? As I read this, look, I know there's a lot of stuff involved, right? I know there's, you know, I mentioned the verse a couple weeks ago about being holding by the cords of your iniquity. Like, I get it. I get that there's consequences. I get that there's things that try to pull you back, right? And I get it. Like, it's not easy to live a Christian life after you've lived a riotous life. I get that it's difficult. But you know what? It's not difficult to come back, though. According to this, right? Now, according to this, so I'm a little naive right now. I'm just looking at it according to the Bible. I'm not looking at it through all of the other things that you can explain away in your life or in his life. I'm just looking at it through the Bible. So really a naive look. You'll have to forgive me. But listen, through the Bible, it's pretty easy to come back. He just arose. He just went. Amen. And listen, that's something that you can always do. You can always arise and go back. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, it's amazing now what will satisfy him. Before, he said, give me. I want all of the stuff that belongs to me. Split it down the middle. I don't care. Just give me what belongs to me. And he wasn't even satisfied with that. And now he's going back to the father and say, and he's thinking in his head, listen, my father has servants and they're throwing their bread away. They're using it for leftovers. I'll take that. And like, it's amazing what a prodigal son will be satisfied with. You know, to me, it's an amazing thing to see a prodigal son come back and just watch him. Because it's like they've lost so much, and now when they get little things back, it's like, I never knew that this could happen again. And it's an amazing, I just like seeing it. You hate, probably one of the more painful things is to watch them go. And I've said it before, so I won't go into it, but it's so painful. But man, to be able to be there and watch them come back, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing experience. And listen, before he expected so much, he wanted so much. In fact, he left full. And now he's coming back and all he's asking for is bread. He's not even asking for sonship back. He's just saying, let's you don't have to see me. You don't have to talk to me. I'll sleep in the barn. I'll live on the back range with the other servants. We'll take care of the cattle. You don't even have to hear from me. But can I come back? He was satisfied with that. A roof over his head. Food to eat. He'd have been satisfied with that. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to him, said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. He doesn't even get to finish. And again, I'm not going to try to say all the stuff that we've heard, but listen, can I just say something? I think that he was amazed that the father actually had more to give. He already gave him his inheritance. He gave him his portion. There is no other portion to give. Sorry. Yeah, you can come and live with me, but that's about it. I don't have anything more for you. The father had more to give. Like, what kind of story is this? What kind of God are you that would do that? And that's what the older brother got mad about, right? But man, the father gave him, he had another portion for him. He said, Lord, I know that I wasted it. I know I'm not even asking for it back. And listen, but the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, bring a ring and put it on his hand, shoes on his feet, and a fatted calf. Let's just have a good time tonight. I can't believe you're back. And I mean, it's just like he's standing there in amazement. It's like, what is going on right now, Lord? You're actually doing this for me? He was given, what, the portion that he wasted, and he gave him another one. And listen, you know what? The father always has more to give to a returning son. Man, thank God. He always has more to give. And listen, the father never runs out. If you're willing to come back, he never runs out. Right? Listen, there is no blessing for a prodigal in the far country. He doesn't get any more. You leave the Lord tonight, that's it. And listen, pretty soon, I mean, listen, the prodigal doesn't just come back with the knowledge that he left with. The prodigal doesn't just leave with the things and the convictions that he had in his mind. All of that is wasted. They have to be retaught things because they don't get it anymore. It's just like, wait, what? You mean this? And it's like, yeah. And they have to relearn things. And listen, so I get it. It's not just simple piece of cake. You can come back like nothing ever happened. I'm not saying it's that. But man, the Father will take you back, though. The Father will be willing to take you back. And you know what? In order to be full again, he had to go home. And if you want to be full again, you got to go home. You're not going to get it from the world. Now, in Dr. Ogden's Bible, he has a note on this, and so I'll read the note. It says, and he says, everything he left home to find was right at home. It was so unnecessary for him to leave, but he wouldn't be satisfied. And so he decided to leave and all that, but listen, everything that he wanted was right at home. He just couldn't see it. He refused to see it. He refused to see it. And you know, I want to say this. I want to say for the prodigal, it wasn't only a new beginning for him. It wasn't like a second life. But you know what more importantly this was for the prodigal? It was a brand new ending. It was a new ending to his life. Now he can actually have the ending that God desires. He can now have an ending that's actually going to mean something. Ecclesiastes, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look what it says in verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, it's important for you to start off right. Right? I mean, it is. It's really important to do that. And a lot of us have had the opportunity to be able to start off right. But you know what's more important than a right beginning? Because not everybody has a right beginning. And there may be some people in here that had the right beginning and have kept that. But not everybody does. So you know what's more important than a good beginning? A right ending. And you know what the father did for the prodigal son? He says, I'll give you a new ending. I'll give you new opportunities. And you can end right. And you know what? That's what you need. As a prodigal, that's what you need. You need a new ending. That's what you need. Listen, verse 17, he says, and I perish with hunger. There's the end. There's the end of the prodigal, right? I mean, maybe it would go on for a little more. Maybe he would, die of some diseases, right? I don't know, right? I mean, maybe everything works out, right? Everything worked out for Al Capone, right? I mean, no, seriously. I mean, the guy was rich. It was crazy. He had a bunch of people to follow him around, and he had to get released from prison and die in a home of VD. There's the end. Yay. You don't listen. As a prodigal son, you know what you need? You need a new ending. And the Father offers you a new ending. Okay? It doesn't have to end with hunger. And you know what? Listen, the riotous life has a bitter end. And we don't necessarily need to go into the depths of all of that, but listen, go to Proverbs chapter 16. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, look what it says in verse 25. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto the unto a man, but the end." But the end. So there's the end. The way of death. And you can live that life, and you know what? You may not have a problem with it at the time, but you know what? What's the end of it? What's the end of your life going to be? Death? Proverbs chapter 20. You know, I wonder tonight, and I'm not accusing you of being a prodigal. I'm really not. But I'm going to ask you, are you satisfied tonight with the Lord? Seriously. Are you satisfied with Him? Look, I know that there's things that we all struggle with in our heart, and we wrestle with the Lord on some things, right? And there's things that we may not necessarily approve of. But in the end, we correct our heart and we say, okay, Lord, but I know you're right. And I pray, help me, right? I know that. So I'm not trying to be like unreasonable about it, but are you satisfied with the Lord? Like, can the Lord not even satisfy you anymore? Because if the Lord can't satisfy you, more than likely we all know where you're headed, and we know where that life is headed. Does the Lord even satisfy you anymore? I mean, you better be careful if the Lord can't even satisfy you. Honestly, you got to be careful about that. In Proverbs chapter 20, look what it says in verse 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Is that, honestly, is that the life you want? The end of your life, you don't even have God's blessing on you? And I think it was said this morning, but how everything depends on the Lord's blessing. Like everything. Every single thing depends on the Lord's blessing. You go buy something. You say, Lord, I pray you'll bless this. Right? You go buy a dog. Lord, I pray you'll bless this. Because if you don't, this could be really bad. Right? Anything. He says, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning. You may get it. You may get what you think you want. Right? You may be able to have fun in your riotous life because you know what? Sin is fun for a little while. Right? Nobody's not saying that you're not going to have any fun, but the end, what is the end of it? Chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 13. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. You're going to go out, and you may have fun for a while, and you may be able to tell yourself you're having fun for a while, and all that, but you know what? You're still going to have to lay your head on your pillow at night. And after all that laughing that you've been able to do, what's the end of it? Heaviness. That Lord, the Lord's going to come by and say, are you satisfied now? No. I can't even be satisfied, Lord. Not now. And you just go on. But listen, that was the end that the prodigal was going to face. You know, I wonder when the prodigal woke up in the morning and or maybe after a long, hard night, you know, at the bar maybe, hitting it real hard. And you know what? He goes and he looks in the mirror and you know what he starts to see? Before when he walked away from the Father's house, he had all his stuff and he's looking in the mirror and he's making sure everything is good, because I'm going to make a big impression. I've got people to please. I've got people to really show who I am. And now he stands in that mirror and just sees the scars of sin. And I get it. Not everybody that goes away winds up a drug addict. right? Like, I understand that. But just for the sake of the story, is maybe he's just got a t-shirt on and he's got run marks up his arm. There's the end. Have at it. You having fun yet? Are you satisfied? God couldn't satisfy you. So look what you're doing now. And that's what the prodigal does. And you know, maybe he just sees, this is my life. This is what I made for myself. Boy, this is a fun end. You know, if you're a prodigal tonight, you know what you need? You need a new end. That's what you need. Go to Ezekiel chapter 7. Just kind of stuck out to me. That verse where he said, give me, and it just seemed like written all over was just dissatisfied with the Father. And it just really kind of stuck out to me. Ezekiel chapter 7, and look what it says in verse 2. It says, also thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee. And I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee upon thee all thine abominations. Verse 6, an end is come. The end is come. It watches for thee. Behold, it has come. And you know what's going to be a real sad day? When that end actually does come for you. And you know what? If nobody's in that position tonight, there's nothing like being able to sit back and watch as this movie plays and say, God, please help me to never, ever be in that position. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, look, you know those sermons, like you'll hear somebody preach on like going through a storm in life, right? And by the end of the sermon, you're just like, I'm in a storm right now. And like, you've convinced yourself you're in a storm. And it's just like, what happened? Like, they didn't have my order at McDonald's, right? And like, you've convinced yourself that now you're in this storm, you know? And look, I'm not trying to do that. I'm really not trying to convince anybody that you're a prodigal if you're not. Look, you and the Lord know it. I hope you're not. But listen, I hope it's not you. I hope this isn't you. Listen, you know what? The prodigal, he needed a new end. And for the prodigal, the father's house presented him with a new end. And you know what? He went back and he was finally full again. And it was a fullness that he almost forgot about. And maybe even those feelings like, man, the last time I was this full was when, yeah, sorry, Lord. Sorry. And listen, you know what? I'll just say it for the sake of the sermon. For the first time in his life, you know what he was? He was satisfied. For the first time in his whole entire life, he left the Father's house unsatisfied. He went to the world and he couldn't be satisfied. And he came back, and for the first time, he was satisfied. And so I hope tonight, I hope that there's nobody here where the Lord can't satisfy you. And listen, if you are in that position, just get it right with the Lord. It's so much easier to come now than when you have all the scars of sin. It's so much easier now when there's not that much that you have to say, Lord, will you please wash me in your blood for this and for this and for this? Right? So the question tonight is, are you satisfied with the Lord? Can you be satisfied with Him? Will you be satisfied with Him? Lord, we...